Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. You pray for you preacher tonight, and we certainly need God's help. I've got a thought and just got a few things scratched out here, if I could put it that way. And so you pray God will help us tonight. Amen. I believe this would be the message for the night. I really talked to, you know, as I told you this morning, what I was going to preach this morning was not really what I intended to preach when I went to my study the other night, but as God kind of intervened there and kind of shifted my direction, but this is kind of what I thought I'd preach this morning. But in Matthew chapter 23, look in verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23, and we'll read one verse. And the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please help us tonight? We certainly stand in need of you. I pray you'd guide our thoughts, guide our mind tonight, and our mouth. And Lord, we pray that we just hear from heaven tonight. I pray you'd help the one that might be lost, the one that might have a need, that might be met tonight. And God, would you move upon our heart? Do a work in my heart while I might preach, but do a work in these dear people's hearts that's sitting here listening tonight. And Lord, I pray it would help them and guide them. And Lord, that it would give them strength to go on and follow you in these last days. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As Jesus in this chapter primarily deals with the scribes, as a matter of fact, he says, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. So we know that the Lord did not think and that much of the crowd that he was talking to. As a matter of fact, the crowd that Jesus always had a problem with was the religious crowd. That's always who. Now, listen, he had a problem with sinners. Don't misunderstand me. But he loved sinners enough to die for sinners. Amen. And he would come in and he would love on them. But these people right here, I wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we kind of get a look upon what the Lord thought of them back in the first part of the chapter. And he said in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, and the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat." That was the law. Moses' seat was the lawgiver. He said in verse 3, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms and feasts, at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi." And so we kind of understand the mindset of the Pharisee. They said in Moses' seat they were the lawgivers, but yet they were not the law keepers. And so the Lord tells his disciples here, he said, whatever they bid you do, that you do, just don't be like them. And today there is a lot of church people, and I'll use that loosely, that are like that. They'll bid you to do something, but they're not going to do it. And I don't want to be that way. And so the Lord, he calls them scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites in this whole chapter. But in verse 23, I want to deal primarily with one word that was mentioned in this verse. And as he says, "You were willing to pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin." They were willing to tithe, give as they felt as they needed to give. But he said, "You've omitted the weightier matters of the law." Things that were more important than you tithing, he said, was judgment, mercy, and faith. And he said, those are what you should have done, plus doing the other. Because he said right here, he said, "These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He said it was not to do one or the other, but really to do both. And so tonight, though, I want to look at that very last word in this verse, in verse 23. And he says you shouldn't leave it undone. And that's what I want to preach on tonight for just a little while, is leaving some things undone. I think in our Christian life, we leave things undone sometimes. We leave them undone in our life. And when we should have dealt with them. Joshua chapter 11, in verse 15, it says, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. He said whatever God had commanded Moses, Moses told Joshua, and Joshua did it. Really, that's what the word undone means. It means to be not done or not performed. That's a real easy look at that. But so leaving some things undone, it will cost us sometimes. We create situations that don't need to be created and problems that don't need to be created when we just leave some things undone. I want to look at four things tonight quickly. And we'll go to the house. Number one tonight, leaving some things undone. First of all, in strife or trouble. We sometimes don't want to have to deal with trouble. We don't like dealing with strife. We just soon as, so I carry on a lot of times that I like a good fight and all that stuff and shoot off at the mouth a lot of times, but I'll just be honest with you, I like everything to be smooth. I like everything to go easy. I don't like trouble. I don't like problems. I don't like issues at hand that I'm going to have to deal with. Nonetheless, I'll deal with them when I have to. But I don't like to. But do you realize that sometimes when we let some things go undone in strife and trouble, it comes back to haunt us, if I could put it that way tonight. It creates more trouble than the trouble would have been if we would have just dealt with it at hand. Can I say tonight, family trouble is one of the worst troubles and that to have. But when we leave it undone, whether it is between a husband and a wife, we let things go unsaid, we let things get bottled up, we don't apologize, we don't act like we should with one another. Wives submit. He said, husbands love your wives. Even Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're to love one another. Book of Titus tells the wife to love the husband and love your children. Because we are different and because we're not the same. You got to understand that. Now, two flesh become one. Ain't that right? Amen. You get married, you become one. But I'll just tell you tonight, me and my wife don't always think the same. But I sure do like having peace in my house. I do like having joy in my house. And I do like things to go smooth in my house. And I'm going to work at everything as to what it takes for everything to be smooth and easy. And let me say this, you cannot hide your head in the sand and hope that those problems will go away. Family troubles, whether it's with your children, sometimes you just got to deal with it. You just got to take the bull by the horns. I've done that here at this church. And I'm going to get on to that here in a little bit. But sometimes you just got to take the bull by the horns and deal with some things. You know that when you deal with it, it may create a bigger problem than what you got. But if you don't deal with it, it's going to create issues on down the road. And I say this tonight, that the more we sweep under the rug, whether it's at this church or whether it's in your home, that friend, eventually you're going to trip and fall over that hump that's in the rug. Amen. I've got a friend of mine who is a deacon at his church, and for a little while he left and went to another church. I forget how long he was at the other church, and while he was up there, they had to take care of problems. And he told me, I'm determined, that's why God sent me up there. I was to help them. He said they had swept so much under the rug and had not dealt with things that when it finally all just blowed apart, there it all was. When we leave things undone and don't deal with the strife and don't deal with the trouble, it creates problems. I think about David and Absalom. You remember David run into all kinds of trouble because of his sin. I've been thinking about this past week. Do you realize that, I'm gonna go back and look. We don't know a whole lot about David's children till he sinned. And when David had sinned, that sin with Bathsheba, then all of a sudden the scripture begins to open and to show us his family life. And because of his sin, all these things that happened. You remember the baby died, and then if you remember, Ammon raped Tamar, and then Absalom killed Ammon. You know what I mean? It's just a mess. It's just a mess. And when Absalom killed Ammon, he got on the run and run from David, and finally Joab got him to let him come back home. But yet David still never fixed things between him and Absalom for a long, long time. Do you remember who Absalom was? Remember that Absalom was the one that put David on the run? You remember that? You remember the story? I mean, put him on the run. All this is happening over here. And if David, I really believe that if David would have dealt with some things and not left it undone, it might have turned different. Think about it, I'm going to look at 2 Samuel tonight. Say, am I doing okay tonight so far? Somebody help me out now. 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm preaching on leaving some things undone. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Look in verse 1. This is the time now that Absalom has come back, and the king has seen. If you go, you remember he went out there to Joab. He kept wanting Joab to come over. Remember, Joab was run David's king, run David's army. Remember that? And Absalom kept wanting to meet with Joab so that he could fix things between him and the king, basically. And finally, Joab wouldn't come. You remember what Absalom done? He went out there and said, his field's on fire. He went out there and set his fields on fire to get his attention. And in verse 31, then Joab arose and come to Absalom unto his house and said to him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? He said, what did you do this for? Verse 32 of chapter 14, and Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been thy steel. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. You think everything's okay? You think everything's all right? It looks all right. It sounds all right. You know, there are times you think everything's all right, but it ain't all right. Look in verse 1. And it came to pass after this, chapter 15, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man may, which hath any suit or cause, might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Boy, you're talking about a politician. I mean, buddy, he's a politician if I have ever seen one. He's on his stump making his speech, ain't he? And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. He's shaking hands and kissing babies, ain't he? And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king. Now notice that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, now look what your Bible says, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You're going to tell me, let me ask you something. Do you think David knew what he was up to? He's standing down here in the gate. And he is welcoming everybody that's coming in to get judgment, and he was setting himself up as a judge himself, and he was trying to steal the hearts of the people. Things still weren't right at home between David and Absalom. If it was, Absalom wouldn't be trying to snooker David. And you can go on and you can read the rest of this story. And he puts David on the run. He gets the kingdom for a little while. And he gets David off the throne. But needless to say, you remember he gets his hire. The Bible talks about his hire in this thing when he had it pulled, when he cut it, how much it weighed and all this. And you know, the Bible talks about Absalom, how good looking he was, that there wasn't one blemish on Absalom from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. I mean, he was handsome as handsome could be, had good looking hair, but yet it was his hair that got him. He got it hung in a tree, didn't he? I remember Brother Obie preaching years ago, and I know I've told you all this. I remember him preaching when I was just a boy. When a long-haired hippie got his hair hung in an oak tree. Now, I don't know if any of that's true or not, but he preached on Absalom that night. I remember that very well. Sometimes, if David would have dealt with this, I believe he might have headed off some trouble. When we head off, whether it is in our family or somebody we work with or just a friend or however it is, if we see that there is trouble coming, we need to deal with it. My wife will tell you in this church there's been times I've had to deal with trouble and I hate it. I hate dealing with trouble. It's not something that I enjoy doing. Because one thing, you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. And sometimes you get in a position to where no matter what you do, it's not going to turn out good. People put you in a position like that sometimes, but nonetheless, you still got to make your stand. You still got to make and do what's right for what Scripture tells you to do. And let me say this, sometimes in dealing with things, it'll save you a lot of heartache and a lot of hard feeling. I ain't saying you got to jump in with both feet right away. Sometimes you need to spend time in prayer seeking God for wisdom. Remember Brother Ted Pigram, he told me one time, we was talking about some things I even forget what it was, but I remember I told him, I said, well, I prayed it out of the way. He said, you took the easy way out. I know Brother Ted, he would have dealt with it. I just prayed it out of the way. Amen. You know, you can do that sometimes. Sometimes if you'll just spend time in prayer and say, Lord, I need you to work this thing out. I need you to deal with it. And let me park right here and say this for just a second. Sometimes things ain't as big as you make them to be in your mind either. Sometimes we blow up making a mountain out of a molehill. If we're not careful, and I'm real good at this, if we're not careful, we'll have everything surmised in our mind that everybody is against us and our enemy, and there's no way this will turn out good. And we've made a mountain out of a molehill. And we have to be real careful with that too. If we'll seek God in the trouble and the strife that's going on, but we don't need to leave it undone. And number two, not only strife that we have to deal with, but then sin. If we maintain unconfessed sin, then there's going to be trouble. We can't leave sin undone. We got to deal with sin. Do you know that? You have to deal with sin. You say, well, God has forgiven. I'm glad God's forgiven us of all sin, but I'm going to be honest with you, friend. When something slips in, when we've done something that we should not have done or not done something that we should have done, you got to deal with that thing. You can't leave it undone. I mean, sin, whether it is by omission or by commission, it cuts us off from God. Psalm 66, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It creates a problem in your spiritual life. You got to deal with sin. Can't leave it undone. I know a lot of times people just want to not deal with that sin, do not want to confess that sin, and I'll be honest with you, church, I've never understood that. If there's something between me and the Lord, I want to deal with that thing. I want to deal with it. I'll be honest with you, I like happiness and joy, and I want to deal with it. And not only that, I mean, it'll cost us in our physical life too. We come back to King David over there, and because of his sin, and what he done, it cost him. I mean, look at all the trouble that he created by saying, we think sin only bothers us,
My friend, I'm going to tell you, it got so many people involved. From Bathsheba to that baby, he had the king's kitchen involved. He had Joab involved. He had the enemy involved. And then after that, he got his children involved before it was all over with in the judgment of things. When sin is left undone, it creates problems not only in our spiritual life, in cutting us off from God, but it creates problems in our physical life, just like Achan. Now think back to Achan for just a minute. So, well, Achan, you ever think about what Achan done? Think about it for just a second. What Achan do? Go over to the book of Joshua. They go into the land of Jericho. You remember they march around it one time a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, they march around it 7 times and they shout and the walls fall down. And he goes in, and as he's in fighting, he finds gold, silver, and a goodly Babylonian garment, and he takes it from the enemy. Now think about that for just a second. He didn't steal it, if you let me say that, from the enemy, but he took it. But nonetheless, he stole from God. Because here's what happened. God told Joshua, and Joshua told them all. He said, when you go into the land, he said, don't take anything out of the land. It was not the very fact that he took it from the enemy. It was the very fact that he disobeyed God. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice, ain't it? And to hearken, that means to listen to and then do, than the fat of rams. You remember that story, don't you, with King Saul? He told him to go down there and kill King Achak. Was it the Amalekites that he sent down there to kill, and they brought back the best of the sheep and oxen and all that, and kept the king Agak alive and all that, and you know, Samuel asked him what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep and loin of the oxen and all those things, and he said, I brought them back to sacrifice, and he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. We get in our minds sometimes that, you know, if we do this, it'll be all right. God'll be okay with that because we can justify that. That's what Saul had done. King Saul had justified his sin. King Saul had justified what he wanted to do, and he left what God said to do undone and done what he wanted to do. And that gets us in trouble, don't it? There's always a time that comes in our sin that we reap out. Be not deceived, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the chastening hand of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourges every son whom he receiveth. You know, we do wrong, he's going to chasten us. We leave sin undone. If we stay in sin and don't fix it, it gets us. But friend, I'm going to tell you, even if we quit doing that thing, we still need to confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I ever got messed up in that. I don't like having sin in my life. So he said, don't leave the other undone. What about our service? You know, our strife that we get involved with, or then not only our strife, but also our sin, but now our service. We go back to the text scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 23. He said, you pay tithe of men, anise, and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They were leaving that undone, wasn't they? That was their service, to keep those things. They were tithing like they should, but they were not doing those other parts. Some don't even tithe. Amen. I think that's service to the Lord, to tithe. Everything you've got is because the Lord's gave it to you tonight. He's blessed you with it. And I hope most of you do. Listen, I don't ask Brother Randy who he is. If somebody throws a check back there tonight, if you throw one in there tonight, I let my wife get it because I don't want to know what you give and what you don't give. I don't want to, but I would encourage you to give tonight, and that's part of your service. But listen, in Matthew chapter 21, we find the story here that the Lord Jesus says, he says, but what thank you? He said, a certain man had 2 sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not, whether them twain did the will of his father. And they said unto him the first. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, let the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because they were saying and wasn't doing. Again, he was dealing with the Pharisees. And you know, it's just like that second son. That second son said, I'll go, Father, but he didn't go. But you notice that first one who said he wouldn't go, and I caught this as I read this late this afternoon, I never really paid attention to it, but he said, but afterward he repented. You reckon that, he went back to his father and repented to his father? You reckon he done that? You reckon he went back and said, Dad, I'm sorry that I didn't go out there, I'm headed that way now. I kind of think he might have. But nonetheless, he said that he answered. See, he was going to leave it undone. He was not going to go like his father had asked him to go. But then after, and for whatever reason, he said, I will not. But afterward, he repented. Something bothered his heart, didn't it? And said he repented and went. And so he did not leave his service undone to his father. But we notice that the second one, he said, I will go. But he went not, the Bible said. And so he left his service undone, didn't he? How many times does our service get left undone? Whether it is in witnessing, maybe in praying or reading our Bible. There's so much in service to the Lord, and we could stand up here and talk about it all night, but you know what the Lord wants you to do. You know what's required. I know what's required out of me. You know, when Elijah, I got to thinking about this as I studied this. When Elijah threw that mantle on Elisha. You remember after he'd been over in the cave and all that, and God told him to go, you know, anoint, was it Hazael, king of Syria, and all this. And one of the last things he told him, he said, you go anoint Elisha is prophet in your room, in your stead. And so as he walked by Elisha, as Elijah walked by Elisha, he took his mantle off and threw it on him. And I think Elisha knew what that meant. And Elisha did not run from it. The only thing he said is, let me go home and tell everybody at home bye, and I'll be with you. That's all he asked. He says, let me go home and tell them bye. Because you know what? He realized that he may or may not ever see him again in the service of the Lord. I kind of think about that sometimes with missionaries that go around the world, halfway around the world, or go out somewhere else. And you don't know if you'll ever see him again. You really don't know. I mean, you assume they'll come home on furlough. You assume that they'll get back, but you don't know that. You don't know that. And so Elisha goes, and you know what? He didn't try to run from what the Lord had put on him. David put it like this in Psalms 40, I delight to do thy will. He said, I delight in that thing. He said, I delight to do your will. I wish I always delighted to do the will of God. I don't always delight to do the will of God. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth, and sometimes it still don't get done. He went on to say, oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, when we get the Word of God in us, we do delight to do the will of God. We don't need to leave our service undone. How we need to serve the Lord. Let our light shine. And being a help when folk need help. And being a friend when folk need a friend. First of all, number four is leaving salvation undone. As simple as salvation really is, folks still leave it undone. The wonderful Savior died for us so that we could be saved, and folks still leave it undone. I never understood that. And He's such a wonderful Savior tonight. He's a good Savior, but yet, folk, they die every day and go to a devil's hell, and they don't have to if they simply trust Christ. They leave it undone. You don't need to leave your salvation undone. Luke chapter 16, you find the story of the rich man. Take your Bible and, oh, you don't have to. I'll read it to you. You don't have to go. If you want to, that's fine. But I'll probably get there before you do. But in Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and said, Abraham, afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So he found himself in a place of torment because he left his salvation undone. It does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. You know, to be undone means to be not done, right? So we can make sure that our salvation is done. And it was done in Christ. And all we have to do is trust Him and accept Him. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. If you need to come and pray tonight, we won't have any music. But if you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight. If God has spoke to your heart, listen, everybody's got their head bowed tonight. It's no different with or without music. Everybody's praying knows how. But listen, if you need to come, if God spoke to your heart, maybe you've left some things undone. Maybe you've left some trouble undone in families or maybe on the job, maybe with friends. I don't know, but maybe you've not dealt with some things that you need to deal with. And God can give you wisdom and courage to deal with those things. Or maybe there's some sin you need to deal with or some service that you need to do. Or maybe you need to be saved. I'd look across this house tonight and would assume that everybody in here is saved. But if not, I want you to come. Listen, if you need to move tonight, I want you to move. Anybody in the house?